A lot of recruiting news coming around on the football side. We got to talk about a big junior day that Wisconsin Luke Fickell had. Tons of interesting prospects on campus, including a couple running backs who I think are potential studs. We're going to talk about that plus more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings. Your team every single day. Greatly appreciate all y'all tuning in. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And let's get going on something that I've been trying to get into for a while, but it feels like we've just had a lot of basketball games. We've had news come up. We've had reaction things we've been getting to. So I haven't gotten to it as much as I've wanted to, but Wisconsin on the 21st last weekend had a big junior day. I think it was 15 kids on campus, Luke Fickell, Phil Longo, Tressel, that recruiting department of Max and Pat, you know, really starting to flex their recruiting muscles here and getting in on some really intriguing 24 kids. I want to talk about, in particular, some of the players that were on last week's junior day and where the Badgers might sit with them, what I think of their film, where I think they fit into potentially next year's class. Let's start with the running backs. I think when I'm looking at, and let's zoom out for a second and let's look at this team. What didn't they do in the transfer portal? What didn't they hit really hard in this year's cycle, right? What in next year's cycle do they probably really need to address? I think it's running back. Running back is one of the huge needs for next year. Right. Nobody in the transfer portal. The only running back coming in the class is Nate White, who I think is a little bit more of a project. I like the athletic upside. We've talked about Nate White a lot, so we like him, but he's got some work to do, you know. So next year, I think it's a two running back class at a minimum. And I think you could see three with the right combination of players, or you could see two in a transfer, because what else is happening next year? Think about what else is happening on the roster, right? Braylon Allen's going to be gone. At least if things go according to plan, Braylon Allen is going to be gone. And Ches Malusi is going to be gone, right? He's leaving. So you're going to have those two gone. And then there's nobody else proven on the roster right now. So big recruiting class next year at running back. I'm going to start with Jordan Marshall. So Jordan Marshall was on campus last week, 5'10", 190 pounds, four-star running back out of Ohio. Somebody that this staff had already been kind of recruiting and building a relationship with at Cincinnati. So Jordan Marshall is a big time name to keep in the back of your head. When you watch film of Jordan Marshall, and again, he's in this recruiting sweet spot, right? A lot of these prospects we talk about, it's going to be Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, right? They are hitting that Midwestern, that elite Midwestern talent, which is really intriguing to see, really encouraging to see. Not surprising either when you look at the composition of the staff. So Jordan Marshall, big, not a big guy, like 5'10", 190, but really tough runner, really, really physical runner. When you watch the film, he has an ability to go through basically any type of arm tackle, great contact balance. Not the fastest guy, Marshall. He's not a burner, but he's fast enough. But he gets north-south really quick, has a really good feel between the tackles. He reminds me of Corey Clement a little bit, actually, if for Badger fans. He reminds me of that type of runner. Now, he's not as yoked up as Corey was, but he's also right now a junior in high school. But he's got that type of physical punishing style between the tackles, runs hard with his legs pumping, shrugs off arm tackles, you know, really finds a space and hits it north and south. There's this great clip of on his film where there's like seven guys trying to tackle him. You can't even see him anymore. Jordan disappears from the frame. And there's like seven guys holding on to him. There's one guy that does like a Superman dive on top of him to try to bring him down. And this pile that you can't even see Jordan anymore just keeps moving downfield. Like, he's just that type of physical, no nonsense, really, really solid running back. I like him. Again, a four-star talent, reminds me of Corey Clement a little bit. And then the other running back they had on campus was Darian Dupree. Darian Dupree, different style of back than Jordan Marshall. Dupree's 5'11", 190, a little taller, a little leaner. He's much more of that. He reminds me a little bit of, remember we talked about Nate White in last year's class, who can just get in the open field and break some confidence bones of defensive backs, right? This guy, Darian, has some of that. He can really put his foot in the dirt, change directions very, very quickly. A great balance, the ability to change direction, spin off a tackle and re-accelerate. More of a big play running back probably than Jordan. but not quite as big. So these are two really interesting prospects. Dupree is a high three-star out of Mount Carmel, Illinois, getting that Midwestern vibe. Offers from Notre Dame, Illinois, Iowa. Jordan Marshall's got a really good offer list as well. These are two high-level running back recruits that were both on campus, and I think the Badgers have a good shot at both of them. You know, so it's definitely something to watch. Again, we talked about that running back class needs to be built up, and then you still have Corey Smith, the in-state dynamic running back out of Waukesha, who I think is really the best of that three group. I think Corey's at the top of that. He can do some of what both of these running backs can do, but all three of these running backs are really, really special talents, and you can see it on the film. So have those two on campus. Let's talk a little bit about Donovan Harbor was on campus. He's Corey Smith's teammate, the big-time in-state offensive lineman, 6'5", really, really physical, nasty streak. The Badgers had him on campus. Amarian Stewart is a four-star receiver out of Bolingbrook, Illinois. Again, right, we're talking Illinois, we're talking Michigan, we're talking Ohio. This staff is going to attack that 350-mile circle that Luke Fickell talked about, and they're going to attack it hard. So Amari Stewart, 6'1", 180 pounds, big-time offer list. You know, Tennessee's in there, Michigan's in there. Michigan seems to be the early lean for Amari. The first thing you see when you pop on Amari's film is the special teams versatility, the explosiveness in the field of play. Very hard to tackle, can really make people miss. Somebody who two or three of his first clips in his film are special teams, kickoff return, punt return. Another player that can really put, much like Dupree, can really put a foot in the ground to make somebody miss. And then he can win jump balls too. There's several clips in his film where he's winning contested catches, 6'1", able to elevate over people, make tough catches. This is a very exciting borderline four-star recruit. Getting that receiver talent in is going to be big for Luke Fickell in Wisconsin. So he was on campus. Ben Roebuck, a four-star offensive tackle out of Lakewood, Ohio, 6'7", 320 pounds. Again, Ohio was on campus. He's just a mauler, big size, moves people, a little bit of Trey Wedding in him when you watch the film in high school, just bigger and a mauler, some nastiness to him. Offers from Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan. So again, you're getting really high level talent with this junior day. Every single player, the offer list reads, you know, like Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Iowa. You know, this is a very high pedigree group of in-state talent of Midwestern talent coming to this junior day. And I think the Badgers helped themselves with a lot of them. Another offensive tackle, Styles Prescott, coming out of Hamilton, Indiana, was on campus. This is a different style of offensive lineman here, 6'6", 280. You know, and when you watch the film, you see the burst off the line of scrimmage for Prescott, somebody who is going to have to bulk up at 20 or 30 pounds. But you can really dream on this guy because he's athletic, he's fast, he moves his feet really well. Great job sliding. He can really anchor against the bull rush. At least in the film we were watching, really can sit down and stand up against the bull rush. You imagine another 20 or 30 pounds on Prescott. Suddenly he's 6'6 and 310 with that athleticism. He's a kid, offers from Notre Dame, Iowa, West Virginia, moves really well. So again, another really, really strong recruit here, another offensive tackle coming in. So we're going to take a quick break here. Coming back, we're going to talk about a linebacker that was on campus that I really like, plus where I think Wisconsin on the defensive side really needs to attack next year. We talked about running backs on the offensive side. Where do they need to attack in the recruiting class next year on the defensive side? And then we're going to get into some of your comments. All that and more in today's Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends, our new friends over at FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. We're really excited to talk about the new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sportsbook in America. It's FanDuel. We talked about it. We're excited about it. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better, right? They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today. Get started with $150 in free bets. That's $150 free bets when you make a $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line, point spread, player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlays. This weekend, NFL playoffs, right? Two big games. I've got the Niners plus 2.5. I got the offense, the combined 45.5. I'm going over that. I think both offenses are going to have a really nice weekend. And it's all on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet and get $150 for free in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. I want to thank everybody again for tuning in to Locked On Badgers, making this one of your first listens. Really do appreciate y'all. And when you're done here, go check out Locked On College Basketball. Have all the biggest college basketball news and stories and scores in one spot with Isaac Shad, our man there. Go check them out when you're done here. And let's get back into some of the junior day comments, some of the junior day news here. So we talked about the running backs, two big-time prospects, two big-time offensive linemen. Amari is a really talented receiver, Amari Stewart. Donovan Harbor was there. Rob Booker, the in-state tight end, was there, second visit to Wisconsin. He's, you know, we had Rob Booker on the show. Rob Booker is so much more suited to what Phil Longo is going to do with this offense than he would have been in the previous offense. This is a dynamic athlete at tight end, really gets up down the field, can elevate in jump ball situations. So like beginning Booker on campus, locking him in, that's a player when you start to pair him in future lineups with the JTC Greaves, you really start to build out that tight end room with more athleticism, more hands. So really excited to see Rob Booker back on campus. I know from having talked to him that Wisconsin's going to be tough to beat in that recruitment. He's a Wisconsin fan. He was high on the previous staff. He likes Madison. And I think the Phil Longo offense is only going to really elevate his skill set. So look for Rob Booker in the tight end room. I think that's a likely one in the 24 class. I'm not saying sooner or immediately, but I think he ends up as a Badger, and that's going to be a really good get for Wisconsin. Kari Jackson is the linebacker I wanted to talk about. He's a really interesting one. So Kari Jackson was on campus last weekend on junior day. Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Again, talking that Midwestern footprint, 6'1", 215, 220 pounds. He is a physical dude on film, right? When you're watching Jackson, he's the type of guy when he hits a running back, that running back goes backwards. Does an excellent job of sifting through trash at the line of scrimmage. He'll stack up an offensive lineman and shed him, get to the ball carrier. And again, the ball carrier, when he gets hit by Carr, he goes down. So he reminds me a little bit of, you know, a Muma type player. I don't know if he's the twitchiest guy. Like, I don't know how coverage is going to work really well for him, but he brings a physical presence to the line of scrimmage. He's a downhill player. You need those dudes in the Big Ten. And he's definitely somebody that the staff is very high on. And once again, you're talking prospects coming to campus. Kari Jackson, right, offers Michigan State. And I think Michigan's a school with the new outside linebackers coach, Mark Mitchell, you know, guy who coached in Michigan at the D2 level for 13 years. That's going to be a state they're going to hit pretty hard because I think they have a great connection there with Mitchell. So Kari Jackson coming in, I know he met with Mitchell. That's definitely a defensive line or an edge defender to watch for Wisconsin. A couple more really quick. We got Coy Pierich, who is a safety out of Minnesota, visited 6'1", 190 pounds out of Esko, Minnesota, offers from Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota. I don't think Wisconsin has actually offered Pierich yet, but they had him on campus. And that's really kind of the majority of the prospects I wanted to talk about. I think the big takeaway here is multiple high-level running backs, multiple high-level offensive tackles, offensive linemen, and a big-time receiver. So those are really important gets for next year. I think on the defensive side, getting another edge defender, a disruptive pass rusher, is going to be huge. I'm looking for them to get somebody either through the transfer portal, get somebody on campus that can maybe fill that dynamic outside edge presence that Wisconsin has had really forever. And then these running backs, this is where it gets interesting, right? We talked about, will they take three? I think for sure they're going to take two. Well, you just had two on campus. You have Corey Smith out there. And there's offers out to other running backs. What order do these dominoes fall? Because recruits start to look at how many spots are available at the schools that I'm comfortable with, right? And let's say Dupree, right, pops or Marshall pops. Then maybe you only have one or two spots left at the running back spot. Corey Smith is always going to get one. Do we see another running back quickly try to come into Madison and throw their name in the hat there to secure a spot? I don't know. It's going to be interesting at running back to see how those numbers play out. Tight end is another spot. I think, you know, you brought in Tucker Ashcraft this year, but you didn't hit the transfer portal. I think you want at least two tight ends, maybe three. Again, depending on maybe what happens in spring practice, what happens in spring ball, but that's going to be a really interesting one to me. And then I want to hit on two in-state or two committed prospects from the 24 class who are also on campus. You have Alexander, who was our very first commit, Austin Alexander, the cornerback out of Illinois. By the way, he just got offered by USC. Now, everyone has kind of forgotten about Alexander. When he committed, we did a story on him with John Garcia Jr. We talked about it. he's a long rangey athlete that has a lot of upside, right? That was a really good early eval and get by Jim Leonard and that staff. And you're seeing schools start to sniff around now and say, this cat's pretty athletic. He's pretty tall. Maybe another JT Taylor type athlete, you know, in this class coming in out of Illinois, a guy who can play multiple spots, is just really athletic. So Austin Alexander was on campus. Great to see him here to kind of solidify that commitment. And then Mabry Medauer, the big time 24 quarterback, was on campus as well, the four-star quarterback out of Texas. And that's really important, right? You get him on campus with these 15, 14 junior day visitors. That's the ambassador of your class, right? The quarterback is the ambassador, and you have a receiver there, tight ends, running backs, offensive linemen. Well, that quarterback is going to connect to those players, and those players are going to look at him and really realize that there is a substantial ceiling with this class because you have that quarterback in place. It's going to draw more talent in. So getting him and involved in this big junior day visit, I thought was really important and really cool. And he's a pretty active recruiter on social media as well, which you want to see from one of the leaders, supposed leaders of that class coming up. So that's kind of the junior day rundown. I'm going to start taking some of your questions here, talk about it. Let me know if there's anybody else that you're excited about from the junior day. There's another junior day coming up this weekend that we'll recap as well. We'll get John Garcia Jr. on to talk about all these prospects, obviously. I think the Badgers sit in a really good spot with a lot of these guys. I think they sit in a good spot with Harbor. I think they sit in a pretty good spot with Dupree. I think they sit in a good spot with, a few other ones here too. So I think the 24 class is going to be really interesting. And I'm excited to see where Luke Fickell takes the ceiling of that one. All right, let's get some of your comments here from either YouTube, Twitter. First one here I want to bring up, because we had a comment on the show from a user talking about Donovan Harbor liking the size and the strength, but being a little worried about the feet. We talked about that with Jonathan Garcia. This is from CGAF999. Completely disagree with the evaluation of Donovan Harbor. Excuse me. He has great feet for his size with an incredible nastiness. And he goes on to say that he's going to play guard for Wisconsin. Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. I thought Donovan Harbor's feet were fine. I didn't think they were elite watching film. I'm also not an offensive line coach. So it's interesting to get a couple different perspectives. We had one perspective from a fan that listened to the show that thought maybe his feet were a little lacking. CGAF right here saying that his feet are really good. He has great feet for his size. So I think there's a reason. Listen, he's a blue chip prospect. There's a reason schools across the country are trying to get in on Donovan Harbor. There's a reason he's a top 150 kid. So it's a big commitment if you can get him into Madison. I think he probably slots better at guard. I appreciate CGAF. That's really, really good insight there. This is from Jesse Erickson. Curious on what you and the guys have heard in Caden Johnson. He had an NFL type projection coming out of high school. Yeah, Caden Johnson was a four-star edge prospect coming out of high school. He's been kind of buried behind Daryl Peterson, TJ Bowlers, Aaron Witt's been healthy, CJ Getz. Caden Johnson to me is interesting in that I think he's got the size to set the edge, but I wonder if he's got the twitchiness to really become that next level pass rusher. I think he might have kind of a ceiling of a CJ Getz type. I'm not sure. We haven't really seen him. He hasn't broken through to the rotation, but Jesse, that's a great question. All right, coming up, we have a bunch more comments here from you. We're going to talk a little Alexander Smith, great guard ceiling. That's a fun conversation. As always, Chucky Hepburn. And then does getting more athletic on the basketball side automatically translate to wins? We got a bunch more comments coming up, but first a really quick break for friends of our show. All right. Appreciate all y'all so much for tuning into the show, giving it your ears, giving it your time. There's nothing more valuable in life than time. And for you to give some of it to this, very, very grateful, very humbled by it. All right. Let's get some more of your comments here. Melvin comes in with a YouTube comment. We have reached Greg Gard's ceiling. There will never be better than they've been over the last few years. He is just counterfeit Bo Ryan. The games they are winning, they're barely winning. I don't know. We're seeing some variation of this comment or this thought process out there a lot now. And I think it's fair to have the conversation for sure. You know, what frustrates me is people who don't want to have the conversation, right? When we were getting frustrated with Paul Chryst, and listen, I was having the conversation, right? We were having the conversation on the show, but there were people telling us, no, you can't talk about that, right? That's a stupid conversation. There's no way. Like, he's won 70% of his games. Don't talk about it. Like, have the conversation. There are there are flaws with Greg Gard. It's okay to have that conversation. And I think one of the big questions is, have we hit his ceiling, right? And maybe his ceiling is, you know, an occasional Big Ten regular season title and a Sweet 16. Maybe that's the ceiling, the absolute ceiling. I think it's a fair conversation to be had. I do think that, you know, next year's class is pretty good. You know, I wonder what last year would have become if Davis didn't get hurt down the stretch and Hepburn didn't get hurt, right? I think that team had a chance to get to the Elite Eight, and then maybe we're not even having this conversation. Now, listen, ifs and buts, you know, sports people get hurt, it is what it is, but that team had the potential to be pretty special if everyone could have stayed healthy. This team, I think we have to adjust the dial a little bit. It's just kind of a mediocre team, and that's okay. Occasionally, even great coaches have mediocre teams. So if it's a one-year blip and then we start trending back upwards, that's going to be totally fine. I do – the idea of counterfeit Bo Ryan is there's validity there. Great guard conversation is so weird, right? Because I feel like there's validity so much of this, but so much of it is off base. And I feel like I'm kind of dancing on both sides of this, which I try not to do. The part of great guard that I think is counterfeit Bo Ryan a little bit is – I think he inherited some of Bo Ryan's inability to change his defensive scheme. I think he inherited Bo Ryan's inability a little bit to adjust his offense, unless the talent is so overwhelmingly good he has to, right? He adjusted to Johnny Davis because Johnny Davis is a friggin' lottery pick. But could you adjust to this team a little bit more? Could you play a little faster? Or do you need a lottery pick to adjust, right? We saw Bo Ryan adjust his offense when he had three NFL or NBA guys on his roster. But it's easy to do when you have three NBA guys on your roster. Right. It's easy to then say, OK, you guys go through Kaminsky and Decker. Can you do it when you don't have that elite talent? Can you be less of a control freak? I think that's where he's kind of a Bo Ryan clone in ways that aren't always beneficial for the team. Never playing a zone defense drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely nuts. And again, that's a carryover from the Bo Ryan tenure. I think having a zone defense in your back pocket that you can break out in critical situations gives the other team something they need to think about, something they need to game plan for, and you can use it to steal a possession. You can still be a man-to-man team, but have something in your back pocket to change it up when the other team is dicing you up. Those are things that frustrate me with Greg Gard. However, the guy's a multiple Big Ten Coach of the Year that shouldn't get washed under the rug. He's won the Big Ten title. He just had a lottery pick. He has a big-time class coming in next year. So I don't know. I'm not willing to say we've absolutely reached the ceiling, but I am willing to have the conversation, and I think it's a very valid one. That's where I'll go with that one. Greg Linscombe says, I am torn between playing Alexander Smith as little as possible early on because of injuries versus getting him reps in the new system. Best of hopes for Witt. Spring practices are going to be very competitive. So lots to unpack here. Let me start with the first one. Alexander Smith, obviously coming off that kind of groin injury last year, soft muscle injury, those things can be reoccurring. I get the trepidation in playing him too much early on because you want to get younger guys reps and you want to preserve him, but he needs reps too. Like, and he's going to get better with those reps in this new system. So I think you got to play him. Like, there is a point in football where, you know, you don't get better by sitting out, especially at the college level. I think it was Jim Harbaugh used to say that all the time. You know, like, you get better by playing. You get better by practicing. You get better with reps. And Alexander Smith is our best cornerback. He's also not a finished product. So I would expect him to get a lot of reps next year and be a really good player. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. I mean, that's just kind of football, unfortunately. Best hopes for Aaron Witt. Agreed. Like, we all just want to see, right? That's the thing with Witt. We've heard him practice. You know, coaches rave about him. Players rave about him. We saw like a brief snippet against Wake Forest in a bowl game. And we're like, wow, this guy could be really good. But we don't really know. We just want to see. And he deserves a chance to be healthy and let it out. I'll kind of hang out there as well. So agree. Best hopes for Witt. Spring practices are going to be very competitive. Greg, you nailed that one. This is going to be a wild spring, right? And we've talked about it a couple times, but it's worth mentioning again, a new coaching staff coming in. Everybody's going to be looked at with fresh eyes, right? There's not going to be any benefit of the doubt for any veteran, any player. Every positional group is going to be a battle. Every depth chart spot is going to be a battle, and you're going to see people leave after spring, and prepare yourself for that. Like, players that we like, players that we're excited for, players that we envision a future for. Some of those dudes are going to leave after spring because they're going to find themselves on the depth chart in spots they don't want to be. And that's okay. Like, players should be able to leave find an opportunity that works better for them. So you're going to see that after spring. I'm interested for it. This one is from Eric Mattson. As talented as Jamel Howard is, I almost don't know if I'd like him on the Badgers. He already decommitted once. How committed is he going to be long term? Yeah, you know, Eric, I think if a player decommits, well, first of all, I have two takes on this. The first is I don't want to say these kids, because they're not kids, they're young men at this point, but younger people make decisions without always thinking it through. I'm not going to hold it against them, right? Like if a guy decommits and then he recommits, I'm not going to, this is just me personally. You may be on to something here, Eric, but I wouldn't go back and say, I question his commitment level. Like I think you're weighing a lot of tough decisions at that age, a lot of great schools, a lot of coaching staffs trying to sell their vision of what you can become. That's got to be overwhelming, right? It's got to be. And I couldn't imagine handling it incredibly graceful as an 18-year-old, at least as my version of 18-year-old. I wasn't the most mature kid. I probably would have committed like seven different times, right? So I don't put as much stock into that. I'm not telling other people not to, but that's just where I'm at. And the other thing to consider with Jamel Howard is he was committed to a different coaching staff, right? He was committed to the Paul Chris coaching staff, Ross Kalaji, Jim Leonard. So those dudes are gone. I completely understand at that point he decommits, right, and looks around. So I think even if, even if there was no coaching turnover, it doesn't bother me as much. But with coaching turnover, I think you almost got to give the kid the benefit of the doubt. Not only did a bunch of these coaches that recruited him left, but then suddenly these big schools got in on Jamel. And if you remember, when he committed to Wisconsin, you know, Michigan wasn't in on him. LSU, Ole Miss, I think Tennessee's in on him now. Miami's in on him, right? All these sexy quote-unquote schools weren't in on him. So, no, I don't put too much stock into it. I am kind of glad that he's able to take these trips. And if he ends up in Madison, that's awesome. And if he ends up somewhere else, that's great for him too. I hope it's Madison, obviously. But I don't put too much into that. But I appreciate the comment. This one here from Al Washke. Again, if I mispronounce y'all's last names, I apologize. Let me know in the comments if I jack it up so I don't do it in the future. He says, let's face it, we don't have a true shooter. We can score off the dribble. Yes. If Hepburn is our best, then we are not going to be very consistent. Listen, I've been banging this drum since the beginning of the year. I get plenty of stuff wrong, but I get plenty of stuff right. And I said at the beginning of the year, we have nobody who can get shots against tough defenses. We have nobody who can create a shot. And a lot of people thought Hepburn would be that guy. And I said, I'm like, Hepburn's a really good player, but he's not that guy, right? He's not a big player. He's going to struggle against long athletes, and he doesn't have elite quickness to get by people. So he's going to struggle to create shots. And Al's right. He is our best at creating shots. And if because of that, the offense is going to get stagnant at times, it's going to struggle because we don't have an ability to create consistent, easy shots, right? You look at other teams, you know, teams with a dynamic lead guard that can get into the paint, you know, then teams are collapsing, you're kicking it out, open shots, or that bigger body two guard like Bubui from Northwestern, who's able to really body people and get open looks in the mid range. We just don't have that. It's kind of Tyler Wall when he's really going in the post. It's kind of Steven Crowell a little bit the second half of the season, but for the most part, our inability to score and our inability to score in crunch moments and in tough end of game situations, it's hampered by the fact that we don't have a guy who can consistently break somebody down one-on-one, get in the post, get in the paint, and either take that shot at the rim or find open shooters when people collapse. So I agree, Al. I think it's 100% correct. It's a roster not conducive to scoring a lot of points. All right, y'all. I appreciate it. Really, really do appreciate everybody tuning in. That's the show today. We got a couple big interviews coming up this week still. I would tease them. Let's just say we got a couple ones you're going to want to stick around for. So check that out coming up. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in to Locked On Badgers. When you're done here, go check out Locked On College Basketball today. With that, on Wisconsin, and we'll talk tomorrow.